The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is November 8th, 2021. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. Dan, is that the raspberry, or no, berry, just berry, right?
Black raspberry.
Oh, black raspberry. Is that in that, did you get the sample pack from Costco? Is that what you had?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
That has my favorite flavor in the peach bum plum, whatever. But that's my new favorite.
Yeah, the beach bum plum. No, it's pretty good. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. Over to my screen left, and Dan James down below.
Good evening.
Thank you guys for hopping on. And it's Dan. I feel like it's been a while since the three of us have been on here, right?
It's been a minute.
Hey, it's been like 3 or 4 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah. Feels good,
yeah,
though.
It's been a while.
It feels good, though.
Who's ready to crack this vault open tonight, boys?
Oh, are we cracking it?
We're cracking the vault.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this should be great.
Oh, yeah. Man. Lots of good things. Lots of good things. Not for you guys, but in general for the team and everything else.
I just want to do a little general housekeeping. General housekeeping. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure you guys hit the subscribe button, the notification bell icon. We do know that we have some looky-loos, some voyeurs, some peeping toms who don't subscribe and who watch the show. It helps us out. If you just hit that little button, just hit that button. We know, we see you. You're watching us and you're not... You're just like watching from afar. It's kind of creepy, to be honest. Anyway,
I see you making.
If you guys are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, be the first person in the past like year to leave us a rating and or a review. We're still the highest rated and most reviewed Atlanta United podcast on Apple Podcasts. But it seems like, I don't know if the UI is too hard for people now to like scroll and find the stars.
It's a bummer.
Hit them stars. We got to be better. We need more reviews and better reviews than the Eternals are getting. So, and if you guys are, I guess, whatever, find us wherever you find and listen to podcasts. If you guys are only catching a piece of the YouTube show, I don't think we've ever just kind of directed people to go and just search Atlanta United. Find us. Listen to us. Join us.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Be us. All right.
So we got a lot to get into. What where should we start? Should we save the vault for last, or should we do it first?
We should do the vault last, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. All right. I think that's the last thing for the show. Oh, and I didn't even mention the fine folks, and I'm not pointing the right direction. Anyway, in the trap, we got Elliot Beaven, Richard Gordon, Anthony Neitzel, Kendrick Brock, Brittany S, Michelle Paravani, Jay Henneball. It feels good. It feels good to have everybody in here.
It does. It really does.
No, you could put Brittany's comment back up because it's 100% accurate. The Union fumbled the bag. And you know what? I have a little more respect for Jim Curtin now than I used to. Nathan Explosion is in here with us too, live from a Metalocalypse. Did you guys see that comment Jim Curtin posted on?
No.
I think he took a screenshot. Somebody sent it to the Slack this morning. He took a screenshot from the MLS app. Let me see if I can actually pull this up real quick. But yeah, he is like a master of shithousery, right? Like he is not one of my favorite characters.
I think Heinz has texted him a congratulations or
hold on. Damn it. Okay.
That's
hold on.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. I'm pulling it up right now. I wasn't signed into Instagram on my computer. So let me hit the share button. For those of you guys who aren't watching, go over to Jim Curtin's Instagram. It's Jim Curtin, J-I-M-C-U-R-T-I-N 5, the head coach of
I can't read that. That's so tiny.
Of Philly. Sorry. Hold on. Is that any better?
A little bit. Still tiny.
How about like that?
No, you had it. There you go.
Sorry, I have an ultra wide monitor. That's a humble brag, but so
it's thick. It's a thick monitor, really, by most standards. But
so Jim Curtin here, the screenshot is of the MLS app with them playing at noon at home against Red Bulls on the 20th, and then anyway, SKC in Vancouver at 3 p.m. And Jim Curtin said, "Reward for finishing second place in the East." Eggs and bacon for your pregame meal. Also, finding out through the MLS app that doesn't work 95% of the time was a touch of class.
Wow.
That man is just absolutely baiting the league office to find his team Garber Bucks to spend next season. So,
yeah, no kidding. I'd be more upset about the fact that it's not streaming on any actual stations besides... MLS soccer app, Univision, 2DN. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what TSN is and TVA Sports. Don't know. That's probably local channels, but I think that.
Isn't TSN Canada?
Yeah, that's the Score Network, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, you're right. Why would they be playing? I guess maybe
MLS,
regardless.
Right?
Yeah.
So is there anything else behind eggs and bacon, or is it just because he's whining about playing early?
I think it's the time.
Yeah, it's a 12 p.m. kickoff. Yeah. That is a little weird, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, to play that early,
There's not a 12 o'clock game during regular season, much less for playoffs. That seems ridiculous.
I'm so used to big games in major American professional and college sports starting at like 9 o'clock at night on a weeknight, like not 12 on a Saturday. Like, that's. That's like Big Ten football kickoff. Yeah. That's weird. That's weird for soccer.
Speaking of 9 o'clock sporting events on a weeknight, I'd be remiss if we didn't say go Braves. Man, what an end to that. That was awesome.
Yeah, no kidding, man. I haven't fallen asleep on the couch that much in a long time.
My
age was showing.
I don't watch baseball really, but that final series was fun to watch.
Yeah,
I mean,
it really was.
Game six, I mean, we just crushed them. It was
just home run, stifling.
Yeah. Have you seen the hillbilly guy screaming about, like, he's doing the Soler's coming up to bat, he's doing the commentary along, he's like, oh, they're worried that Freddie Freeman's up on deck, but they're not thinking about Soler. No, no one's thinking about Soler.
My favorite was the like Hispanic broadcast, like the Mexican broadcast. I don't know if you guys saw that, but whenever he hit the homer, oh my god, it was amazing. I could watch Spanish broadcasts of baseball games if it's like that time and time again over an English broadcast, because it was incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
It's Jay, like Hannibal saying, come on, Dan, we are those fucking guys.
You know what's great? Like if that like little rafter that was above the wall at Minute Maid wasn't there, that ball would have been like in the parking lot. If it didn't end up in the parking lot already, like it was crushed, man. That was quite the hit.
Fantastic. Another championship in the championship city.
Right. And this is the reason I don't get on social media. I saw a headline pop up that was like, the first breaking the Atlanta sports curse for championships is like, close.
Oh, that's baiting.
Close this. That's bait, mate.
I'm going to pass on that thread real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a whole lot of that about, it was like, just,
did Jeff Schultz write this?
Yeah, Jeff Schultz. Yeah.
And then there, inevitably, there's somebody down in there. It's like, but what about the swarm?
She lives.
Are they lacrosse team?
Yeah, that's yeah, I don't. Fuck, man. Yeah, that's it's ridiculous. There's people are silly. Kendrick Brock said it did go out. The ball did hit out of the stadium.
Yeah, it did. And apparently somebody found it outside the stadium, which is pretty nice. Awesome. So question, what time is our game against NYCFC?
I actually don't think, and yet. Kendrick actually brought attention to the fact that they had taken that put, like MLS soccer.com had taken down that screenshot or like that page, and the times have not been released yet.
Gotcha.
So there's no schedule released yet. So whenever I look at, you know, it's funny is I'm looking at the score, Dan, and I didn't know what TSN stood for.
I'm looking at the MLS app. Whoa, that's a lot of glass. You can't read that at all. But yeah, we've got I saw us playing on the 21st of November at 5:30. So
That's pretty good.
But it's been taken down now. Yeah, teams TBD.
Everything is TBC versus TBC at TBD right now. So
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's yeah. Fun stuff. Yeah, that was kind of a wild day. I didn't catch up with everything from yesterday yet, but did you guys see the end of the RSL game? I think Will Bowron was bringing up the handball during that match, but the fact that they clinched a playoff spot in the 95th minute with 5 minutes of stoppage time. Yeah, that's.
You'd love to see that. And then I have not been paying attention to the West, obviously, because Colorado have come out of nowhere to me and won the West.
And no, neither LA team making the cut.
Wait, Colorado won the West? I knew they were like top three for most of the season. But
They finished top. Yeah.
Well, damn, that's
they're
pretty
top.
Great.
Seattle second, I believe.
Aren't they? They're more of a defensive Kansas powerhouse, City, right?
Yeah.
No, they just beat whoever they were playing, like 5-2 or 6-1 or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They've been scoring a ton of goals.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say, that we were talking so much shit about Vancouver last week and they were surging at the time. Like, they're the Western Conference Red Bulls. Like, they're, I think they ended up in the playoffs. Yeah, they're in the sixth seed after they got beat by whoever it was, like the Sunday Beer League team. In the Canadian Cup.
Yeah, that's got to be. Surely Vancouver is the most least likely to have made the playoffs at the beginning of the season. I mean, they've just been horrible for years and years and years.
Well, Orlando made it, Dan. So I don't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I thought for sure they were going to drop, man. There was a real chance that they were going to get cut yesterday, and the fact that they hung on, I was like, damn,
get their butts cut.
It's back to back playoff appearances.
I know.
In fact, that's it.
You know what's really really kind of great about the Colorado storyline is there's a kid, is it Cole Bassett that plays for them? Cole Bassett's or shoes,
yeah,
okay. Anyway, his name is Cole Bassett. He's 20 years old. He was getting interest from Benfica or Braga or one of the big teams in Portugal during the summer transfer window, and he declined. He's like, I want to stay here. I want to win a championship, and I don't want to sit the bench going over there right now. He's like, I'd rather stick, and he helped them win the West. That's,
wow. Yeah, good.
That's
man.
Actually a pretty good storyline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, lots of players should have probably done that. Moises Caicedo.
I don't know who that is.
He was he played for America de Cali in Colombia. And he was on Atlanta United's transfer list. And Cole Hans, thanks, Will Bowron.
Will Bowron bringing the Macy's shoe department knowledge to Dan. He said, you're thinking Cole Hans, not Cole Bassett's.
Oh, well, shows how much. I have a shopping idea.
Yeah, they also have this other guy, Kenneth Cole, that plays for them.
Yeah.
Oh, department store jokes. Keep going, Dan. Sorry. Moises Caicedo.
That was Joe Cole. Yeah, so he was a center defensive midfielder. Great potential, huge potential coming out of there. And he was on our radar. Hopefully we were going to bring him in. And, of course, he just chose to go to Brighton. And then he just got sent out on loan to some Belgian team. And then it's just been riding the pine ever since. Should have come to Atlanta.
Yeah, so he'll end up back just like, who was it? Kamar Lawrence that went to, where did he go? Anderlecht or Standard Liège? One of those Belgian top couple teams ended up coming back. And where's he at now? Toronto, right?
Yep. Yeah. From one asshole team to another.
Yeah, that's whatever team he's on is asshole team. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, it's good to see him not in the playoffs. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we've talked about 15 minutes without even really talking about Atlanta United. So
good job, guys. Well, next
give the
week,
people what they came from. Yeah,
stick to soccer. Came for.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week because we do have another 2 weeks. We have almost 2 weeks before the next match. So.
So getting into the match this past weekend, boy, what a difference a half makes, I guess. Let's start there maybe. Cause to me, Jesus, that first half might've been one of the worst first halves for a game for Atlanta United in a while. I mean, that was tough to watch at times. I don't know if it was the lineup or the, you know, I think it was, Kevin Egan, who was mentioning it's just the Red Bulls hangover or what, but they just looked sluggish and flat footed for pretty much the entirety of that first half and ultimately end up going down one goal as a result. And going into the second half, you're thinking, are we going to lose and end up in seventh in the East? And then they come out in that second half and just light things up and are a completely different team, which was great to see. And hopefully is the momentum they take going into the playoffs rather than that first half. Cause that ain't going to cut it.
No, it just pisses me off sometimes because I mean, we've got all this talent. Maybe it's just that I'm building myself up with like, We should have won this game like 4-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all this on the line. We have to win. We could get home field advantage, although you're relying on Philadelphia to help us out. But to come out with that sort of limp, just no urgency, just kind of pedestrian attitude is just like, what the fuck is going, because it always seems like in these big games, not finals, not playoffs, that's not what I'm talking about, but these big games during the regular season, and it's just they always just, you know, they just fall flat all the time and you're so disappointed. Yeah. But thankfully, like you said, second half came around, but good God, sort it out, lads, sort it out.
Yeah, the exhaustion seemed to be kind of the prevailing sentiment from the broadcast teams. Listening to the radio broadcast yesterday, that seemed to be the thing that was, you know, like kind of the hangover. And it seemed like that was way more. And I guess it did end up being that way, where a draw on Wednesday was more pivotal in our positioning, and probably was a more important game for us to pull a draw out of, given the scenarios that had to happen yesterday for us to not make the playoffs. Cause I mean, ultimately I it was going to be hard for us to get that home playoff match. So,
yeah,
I mean, going into it on Sunday and knowing that that a team like Montreal, it was Montreal that was the only team that could have jumped us with like some crazy scenario yesterday. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, knowing that going into that, I had no problem, I guess, pedestrian, what have you, with us not being the sharpest yesterday in the first half. But then again, I mean, just kind of, they had to batten down the hatches in the second half and still ended up giving up two goals against us. So they were both in the second half. I don't know why I was thinking the Miles goal happened in the first half, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So I just feel bad for Cincinnati fans. I mean, so Bailey scored that goal in like the 20th minute, and immediately they just concede going into the opposition half. They just sat back, all of them. And then eventually Vasquez is subbed off I can't remember who it was.
Was it Joe Zhao?
No,
Alan Cruz. It was Alan Cruz. That's right, because they ended up midfielder. Reshaping, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So four five one with Brenner up on by himself, but it's just like God. I mean, having to deal with that, just with that's their game plan. They go in if they get up a goal. Okay, bunker guys, we just need to hang on to this one goal. Yeah. And I mean, to have a fan base that's they just deserve better.
I don't know. I hear them cheering for Lucho Acosta, so like I don't really feel bad for any fans that are like affectionate towards that little guy. Who's least likable in MLS? I'm gonna give you three guys, and they all are diminutive figures: Lucho Acosta, Maxi Morales, or Felipe.
I don't know. I want to punch Castellanos in the face every time I see him.
Oh, yeah, Castellanos, yeah. Well, maybe next weekend.
It's really endearing that he just won the Golden Boot too. So that's promising going into playoffs.
You know what sucks? Yeah, you know what sucks though is like I'd rather him win it because I don't think I don't think he had as near as many penalty goals as Ola Kamara did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Ola Kamara, like half of his goals this season were penalties.
Yeah.
But I mean, to your point, Dan, you're right. I mean, when I look at that midfield and I see Madunian in, and I guess Kubo's maybe not necessarily a defensive guy, but like, I don't really know that you need that much. If you're playing a back four, I don't know how much you need coverage wise in the midfield defensively whenever you have Madunian and already in there as kind of an enforcer. And I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of like a toothless tactic from them, because I mean, what's the point of getting rid of actually, I don't even know why Yapstam was fired. Was it was performance based, right? Or was it controversy based?
They were just garbage, just a horribly, defensive team. They had some decent players as well, like Ariel had been decent, Acosta's decent, and they just
they got rid of Frankie Amaya at the beginning of the season too, right?
They're like moribund. Moribund is what they are.
I don't know what that means, but
boring.
Oh, gotcha. Right. But that kind of just brings up that point of like, why? I don't know. Why do you let go of a defensive minded manager when you're just going to tuck tail and run after going up 1-0 in the first half? It is.
Well, why are you when you are going to be, regardless, even if you win the game, you're finishing last in the table. What are you protecting?
Right.
Just go for it. I mean, it was just bizarre to me. Bizarre. Yeah. And that they were also on the front foot as well. Like they were pressuring us.
Right.
And to just totally concede, you don't want to give Atlanta United the ball. Come on. I mean, that's like playing Atlanta United one-on-one, unless you're the Red Bulls.
I feel like we need to address some of the trap activity that's going on. Brittany S. asking, why did Pineda rest Lennon yesterday?
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that he was okay and they brought him in. I don't know if it's just trying to keep players healthy going into playoffs that he maybe felt like he didn't really need them. It sounded like Sosa might be okay to play too. I don't think he traveled, but again, I think it's right now, I think Pineda's mind, because really, there was no way for Atlanta to lose and not make the cut yesterday. I guess they could if they lost by 8 goals, but ultimately, I don't think that there was a way that they were going to miss the playoffs. So my thinking is that it was just to keep guys healthy. I know that they've got 2 weeks off until playoffs start, but that's sort of what I'm thinking. Sounds like Moreno was kind of a similar thing where he just took a little bit of a knock, but wasn't anything too serious. So I'm hoping it was just trying to keep people rested at least.
Yeah. Moreno's pain management, they said, like I think he hurt his foot or something. So
yeah. Yeah. I said he's had a nagging foot injury. So I think that gave him the ability to rest. So,
yeah.
Stephen Perales chiming in saying hopefully Sosa recovers. That would be quite nice if he is ready for the Yankee Stadium match. Chiefs coach Steve is in. Thanks for joining. And also Sydney 17 supporters group, Nick Pugnal, all the way down in Sydney, Australia, watching us tonight.
Nice. What's it, like 8 o'clock in the morning there?
It is, what is it?
Talk about watching a show with bacon and eggs.
Is it, are they 14 hours ahead?
I can't remember. Something
sounds like right. That. I don't know. Daylight savings time, Tim.
No, you're right. It gets darker earlier. No, it is. They're 16 hours ahead. They are 16 hours ahead of us. So, it's not daylight savings time right now. It is standard time. Daylight savings time happens in March. Stop. It is Eastern Standard Time right now.
But it's darker earlier, so yeah. I don't get it.
I hate daylight savings time. You should like it because it gives us a lot more daytime. It gives us a lot more sun.
This is daylight stealing time.
No, if you have children, it just fucks everything up. It just fucks it all up all the time.
I go to work, it's dark. I come home, it's dark. Standard time is bullshit. Kelly Francis joining us live. Just to chime in and say that he is having foot issues. Obviously talking about Nick Pugnal in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. It's the time difference.
Yeah,
it's got to do with the barometric pressure.
It's actually in Australia time. Moreno is recovered already. That's how this works, right?
That's definitely how it works.
Yes, good.
Yes.
He had more time to recover that way. He got an extra hour. He got an extra 14 hours.
This is a mind F and a half. We're going to send him on a plane coming back. We're going to send him back across the internet.
We don't know if he's going to heal in time for the game. We're going to send him to Australia. He'll go back in time.
Just keep
going forward in time. We really fucked this up.
Really fucked up. Oh, that's great.
Oh, good grief. Man, I still, even like pedestrian effort, whatever, our front four, I guess a front three yesterday, still very impressive. I mean, Barco is every bit that $30 million that we're going to get for him in the offseason.
Right. Absolutely. Sure.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen a player score this high on Who Scored. I know you don't use Who Scored anymore, Dan, but he's an 8.8 in his ratings yesterday, which is kind of insane to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's been fantastic.
But
the funny thing is he's like not in any of the conversation for any sort of MVP race. It's all like Hany Mukhtar and
how many matches did Barco miss at the beginning of the year?
I want to say like 5 or 6.
He missed a bunch, and he wasn't great. Like
no.
It was post Olympics. He is absolutely the MVP. Yeah. He's got that Landon Donovan, half of that Landon Donovan trophy.
All the blood doping he did at the Olympics.
Yeah, fuck whatever he did. Do it some more.
Absolutely,
it's absolutely insane. Elliot Beaven asking. I'm obviously jumping ahead, but NYCFC player got shown a red yesterday. Does he play in the playoffs? No, I believe Gideon Zalalem will not be playing against us because he is suspended. Yeah, yellow cards get expunged. Red cards do not. They get carried over.
Right. But I don't think it's going to matter too much. I mean, he's only played for them 7 times. I think he said 7 appearances.
But he's a new signing, right? He came over in the summer. Did he come over from Arsenal?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
He was at Arsenal at one point. I don't know if he... Never mind. He played with Sporting KC before. No, you're right. He's been with... I guess I don't pay enough attention. He's been there since 2020. So never mind.
He's been coming off the bench. So, I mean, they've got kind of a thinner bench anyway. NYCFC, is he in how many threats?
No, just NYCFC, FC.
They've got a thin bench. So with having him out, I mean, that just kind of depletes him a little bit further. But then, of course, we've got to deal with geometry.
Yeah,
which is going to suck, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's
So we got to start talking about the goals, boys. The goals. Miles Robinson, you talk about losing Barco in the offseason. I think it's all but a done deal at this point. Miles Robinson with the chef's kiss of a goal. First in MLS, right?
Yeah, best MLS goal.
And then immediately goes off for USMNT duty. God almighty, dude. There's no way we keep him, right? Like, is there chance that he's back next year?
I would imagine that he's gone. It's just like we haven't heard any rumors yet. Yeah. Surely he's gone. Surely. But I'll be happy to keep him if he wants to stay.
No. Yeah, I think the only mitigating factor in his transfer might be his age, but there's got to be a team that's going to take a chance on him at that point. I mean, I guess he's 25. Is that right?
I thought we said 24 last time we were talking about it, but
yeah,
I
he is 24. He turns 25 in March. So yeah. that's not that old in center back years, I guess. But I don't think there's really any chance he's staying.
I would love to see a championship team snap him up. Like, it would just be, I think it would be a great challenge for him.
Honestly, yeah. I've been calling for a while for Jesse March to snap him up because he plays really well in a back three. And to go in and play for Leipzig, they've lost a couple center backs over the past year. Upamecano went to Bayern Munich, Konate went to Liverpool. Like, they need some depth back there. He plays really well in a back three.
He does.
That team is very exciting, too. I would love to see him go to a team like that where he's going to get play time and be able to be a part of. And it probably doesn't hurt having an American coach, too. That's
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, great way, to equalize and really get the team riled up, I thought. And then, obviously, the standout goal I don't know if it's goal of the year for Atlanta United because there's been some good ones this year, but certainly the goal of the year for Joseph Martinez and one of his best all time. But it defied physics, man. Like I've watched it so many times, like the amount that he had to turn his hips to rotate, to redirect that ball directly behind him without using his heel somehow. Like I don't get it, man. And he set up to it, knew exactly what he was going to do as the ball popped up in the air and delivered every bit of it in the one place that he had to put it. And it was a hell of a goal by Joseph Martinez.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. Like the ball pops up in the air, goes like what, 50 feet up in the air, and then comes down. It's like, okay, well, it's going to be, someone's going to try header it. No, he's just going to like do a cheeky little dink, and catches everybody off guard.
Pineda's response, I think, summed up everybody, which was just,
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I think Mulroney did the same thing too. Whenever he's coming over from the side, he's just, oh my God. What was that? It's a shot that you see a guy hit. Like, if he mishits that, you're wondering, what were you thinking?
Why would you try that? Yeah, exactly.
Why would you even try that? I think what I sent to you, Kevin, was like, just the audacity that he had. When he saw that ball pop up, he's like, yeah, I'm doing it. Like, I'm doing this. The first angle they showed, too, it looked like it hit off of his calf. And then the second angle, it looked like he hit it perfectly with the side of his foot. Like, it was just...
Well, especially coming off of that Toronto game, I think it was. Yeah, it was Toronto because he didn't play against Red Bulls, right? But that Toronto game where he was just near misses all night and just couldn't seem to put it together to get on the end of one, to see him come up big last night for the last game of the regular season and kind of lock in that win and that position for playoffs was was a good way to kind of end the season and go into a playoff mentality, I felt like, so.
Yeah, because he'd had a header, he'd had a shot from the 6-yard line that Vermeer did really well, annoyingly, to get to. He tried everything, so the audacity to try that one was like the last, might as well have a go.
Yeah.
Kendrick with breaking news, Kendrick Brock in the trap, saying our game against NYCFC is at 3 p.m. on the 21st.
That is the, is that the Saturday or the Sunday before Thanksgiving?
It's the Sunday.
Sunday before Thanksgiving. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we get the Sunday match, gives us a little bit more rest.
I like it.
We have to go up that tiny little fucking baseball field and it just, yeah.
It's so small. I was watching the highlights of NYCFC and the Union, and
it's pronounced Madunian.
Madunian.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the camera angle just makes the field just look, I mean, you're playing on like a little park.
I think the fact that they were able to lock up that win with 10 men is only a testament to that field size. I mean, I'm worried, man. I'm going to be honest. Like, yeah, that Cincy game was great, but Atlanta's run of form lately, and I know some of that has to take into account the rotations in the lineup last night included, but even against Red Bulls, the biggest missing factor there was Joseph Martinez. But I don't know, man. The field size and everything else, I think everybody will be healthy, which is certainly a benefit. But just the way that this team wants to attack, I think the one benefit that they have is that they've become a little bit more aware and in sync with one another, especially those front four, a lot of one touches, which you really need. And I feel like that's been our biggest heel or thorn in our side up in NYCFC lately, or over recent years, is the fact that the team just hasn't really been built for quick 1-2 or one touch plays. And so that front four right now, if they're all healthy and all able to play, I feel like we might have the best opportunity to really build an attack with quick one touch passes up the line. But overall, I'm worried, man. I mean, those last, to be the second best team in the East since the start of August for Atlanta United, the last three games certainly didn't inspire that ranking or motivate me to think that they were really holding that title as second place team per se.
Yeah, it's, if you look at the form tables, Atlanta United used to be second and we've dropped now down to fifth. So, you know, we've had three draws and two wins in our last five. NYC, you know, New York have had, in their last four games, four wins and a draw. So they've been climbing up and their form is getting better. So you do worry. I'm just hoping that, I don't know, I feel like the Red Bulls game was actually a pretty mature performance and took a lot of focus to achieve that.
That was a nervy game, man. I mean, and then, Atlanta didn't have a single shot all night. Did they end up with one shot all night?
Yeah. And then you go back with the Cincinnati game. It's like, well, I don't know what that first half was, but the second half was, okay, the urgency's there. And now we can see guys are going to crash and try stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe this is all Pineda, like, just trying to manage the minutes and the energy levels for the guys and saying, okay, now we need to go for it. Because, you know, come the 21st, that's it. It's all, you have to leave everything out there now.
Yeah.
So hopefully the nice thing about just this one and out game is that's it. You don't have to manage a long-term game. You just have to get through that game.
Well, and it's the whole point that you made about Cincy, right? It's like, this is it now. You've got to play through this. If you lose, you go home. You got to put it all out there now. And to Kendrick's point, like, I know he says it in jest about them having 2 weeks where they can take the team to one of the pitches on the MARTA stations. But in reality, I think that's something different that Atlanta really hasn't had in the regular season, where they just have to kind of pick up a match on the road against NYCFC and go from playing a regular sized pitch to playing in Yankee Stadium. They can rehash the training field over at whatever their training facility is. It's slipped off the top of my head now.
Right?
Children's. Yeah. But, you know, they can play on a compressed field and really practice on that for a couple of weeks and get used to that pace of play and come up with an attack formation that's planned around that in a way that I don't think that they've been able to really in the past. So,
yeah, I mean, we have 2 weeks. What's Saban doing right now? Because If we got Saban and we got 2 weeks to game plan, I don't know that anybody can beat us. And but I mean, all joking aside, I think that is, I think it'll benefit us a good deal because, yeah, I mean, we will. I didn't even think about that, to be honest, Kevin, being able to readjust the training ground to be more along the lines of those pitch sizes. Can I just say how stupid it is that it's like, I'm guessing the say, or like the rules come down for FIFA that there's a range of a standard soccer field size. It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
But isn't MLB the same way though? I mean, like there's different outfield, like wall heights and shit like that. So, I mean, I think it's a part of American sports inherently in some way, not like basketball and stuff like that, but I mean, that certainly plays a part in MLB stadiums, you know?
And I think there might actually be like a range for basketball too, but like, I don't think it's as drastic. It's just that, like, it just seems so drastic in soccer. Anyway, Elliot Beeman brings up a point. He says, cause I was wondering about this. I was looking it up on SofaScore. Said Atlanta won before they can do it again at Yankee Stadium. I was wondering, had we ever won a game at Yankee Stadium? We won one during our championship season. We have won one time, 1-0.
Eric Cremetti.
Yep, back in April of 2018, it looks like. I guess we did that in the playoffs too, didn't we?
That's what I was talking about.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking of the regular season. You're right. It's two times then, because this is I'm only seeing the.
Who scored that goal, Tim?
Wait, no.
I didn't think we'd beaten them there.
You're right. No. Yeah. This is European dates. This is not April 11th. This is November 4th, 2018.
Oh, yeah. It's daylight savings time. Again, you got to factor that stuff in.
This is all the stuff I should have game planned for leading up to this. good grief. I haven't seen the handball call that both Will Bowron and now Coach D are talking about.
I haven't seen that either.
You have to take a look at it. They admitted they fucked it up. So, you know, it was real bad.
Yeah.
It was real, real bad if Pro was like, okay, we did fuck this up. Like, it's not something that they can they normally don't swallow their pride on that sort of thing. So
Tim, how are you feeling looking ahead to not just NYCFC, but just playoffs in general? Because if we get through NYCFC, our next game is against New England. It's not like
Atlanta's
got an easy path ahead.
You know what? Like, I take a lot of solace in the fact that it is one and done. And a team like New England, I don't know that they're any different than LAFC when they lose in the first round against Seattle. Or like, who was it? Red Bulls lost to Philly? Or I'm trying to think who... Somebody won the Supporters Shield recently in the East and lost in the first round or second round. I mean, it was Philly that lost. Okay. I mean, I think that makes me feel a lot better going into these things. And especially now it's completely one and done too. Not that the first round was ever a two leg affair, but like we used to play two legs in the second round, right? In third round. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel good about it.
I always thought that was so weird that the final was one and done, but the semis were two legs. Like, that seemed so backwards to me.
But they were trying to copy the way the Champions League does it. I'm trying to think what other... Does the FA Cup do two-leg semis, Dan? I can't remember.
The FA Cup, no.
No, they just do replays occasionally. It's just ties.
The two legs were always the international stuff.
Okay. So trying to copy that. But yeah, I love the one and done format. It makes it more exciting for sure, especially folding in another team into the fold again too, and giving honestly think in some ways that New England having that week off, extra week off, they're not gonna play again for
about a month. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is not good for them, I don't think.
No. Yeah, they need to start chowing down on burgers or something, you know.
I think that is kind of a disadvantage, honestly. Especially, I mean, I don't think they've really had a really bad stretch of form this season. It's not like they're not in form too, and just to have to sit on your butts for obviously they're gonna be training, but not being in a match for 3 weeks at least is. Yeah.
So Atlanta United would not host a playoff game unless the final falls their way, right?
Yeah. Well,
I think final... we could potentially, depending on how the other results go, if Orlando or who was the other one? Red Bulls. If one of those get through to the Eastern Conference Final, then that would be a home game because they'd be we'd be the higher seed.
So, but we're on 51 points. To your point, Kevin, we have the so there are five matchups that would result in us having a home match, and three of those are finals. If Minnesota, Vancouver, or Real Salt Lake get to the final, we would host.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to the final, I don't know that we will host. And we're probably going to be going to Colorado in the middle of fucking November, or I guess the beginning of December to play.
They can bring out the snowball, though. That'd be fun.
Yeah, the orange ball. You know, we have a pretty good history
with
that ball.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what
was
I want to see.
5-0 or was it 6-0? It was 5-0, right?
6-1.
It was 6-1? Okay. They got a goal. Yeah, that was Minnesota. That was up in Minnesota, the second game of the first year, right?
Yeah, man. Gopher Stadium.
Mm. That was it was fun times. It was fun times. Uh-oh. His shot charged.
Are we downloading it?
Yeah, I mean, I gave my thoughts just briefly about how I'm feeling, asked for Tim's, and now I think you've charged your shot for 2 weeks. We're ready for a heavy dose.
One last thought, though. One last little thing I didn't – about my feelings going into the playoffs, like confidence-wise, the front four in our attack, like you need that in the playoffs, and like I feel super confident that they're going to be able to take it away in New York.
Oh, right, my God.
Yeah, come on, man. What are you doing?
He's just wrapping up.
I just hope he left some of the pipes after last week.
I heard you did a podcast in the middle of the night in bed.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Do you remember it or no?
No, they sometimes they just happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just wake up and you did a podcast.
Wake up. Check Twitter and it's on there, you know? Yeah, okay. NYCFC. Well, we've been here before, haven't we? I mean, so they ended up with 14 wins, 9 draws, 11 losses. That's a lot of losses. So I kind of feel like this, we've summed this up already. I mean, Castellanos, Morales, Jesus Medina has come into a little bit of form. But the two center backs, Callens and Chanot, have been pretty average this season. So just saw Mateo's comment. That's beautiful, Mateo. I hope people from work aren't watching this. So I mean, Castellanos has got that golden boot. It was a pretty low, you know, not even above 20. Come on, that's a golden boot. That's not really. It's kind of just just a soccer game, really, isn't it? So it's the field, it's the apprehension I've seen off the past couple of games that we've had. We're gonna get fined because they don't
fuck with us anymore. Yeah
That's what bothers me. So but the thing is, on paper, again, we should win this. It should, if we're going to get to the final of the NMS Cup, we've got to have these ridiculous. We've got to power through and get past all these things. What I thought was good about the Red Bulls game is that it showed maturity and focus. Like there was a lot in there. Yes, we didn't have. I think we had one or two shots on goal. But I argue the fact that if Bella would put that one away at the last few minutes, would be having a completely different conversation about it, even though it was pretty boring. But then after he took that shot, George Bello ran the length of the field against a guy who had like a 20-yard head start of him, chased him down and tackled him and broke up the attack that he had messed up on. So there is every chance that we could win this game. There's, you know, more chances that we could lose this game. So I'm going to say we win it. I'm, you know, 1-0, shitty 1-0 win, but that's what it's going to be for me. And if it's not, then it's not. Season over. That's okay. And we can just move on.
All right. Tim, what are you thinking? Score prediction.
I do. Yeah. I don't. 2-0 to Atlanta.
2-0.
2-0. Yeah. No. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah. Yeah. We get Barco and Araujo on the board.
I don't think Atlanta's going to get through the first round, realistically. I think it's going to be – I think it might get ugly and be a 2-0 NYC win, honestly. I don't want it to be, but that's kind of just the way I'm leaning, just based on the way things are trending. I do think that it's a really big positive that they've got a couple of weeks to prepare for it. Tim, I completely agree. I think our front four are arguably – the best front four in the league right now, but I just don't know. There's just too many unknowns in the way NYCFC is playing versus the way that Atlanta has been playing over the past five matches. I don't know what to expect out of this team. And I'm not as confident going into it as I would have been, you know, a month ago. You know, I just don't know. So.
Yeah. This segment of the show is brought to you by Doomsday Preppers. Sky is falling.
That said, I think that if you talk to anybody back in June about the state of Atlanta United, or maybe I guess that was May. Was that May or June coming off of or going into the end of Heinz's tenure, that Atlanta United would go from, I think at the time, like 10th or 11th place in the East to being in fifth in the East with a chance to really make a run at it, and not just being fifth based on a fluke couple of games, but a really solid run and a solid stretch of like 9 games straight. I think that we'd all consider the season a win no matter what. And I certainly do. If Atlanta is one and done against NYCFC, it's been a great season for me. And I think that they've done a lot of really good things, and I'm really excited about next season as well. But, and I want them to win this weekend. Don't get me wrong. Or that first game. It's not this weekend. I keep forgetting.
Next weekend. Yeah.
But I just, like I said, I just, again, NYCFC is a good team, man. And it's in their home stadium. They've got Golden Boot winner right now. There's a lot of things against Atlanta United besides just the front four that Atlanta's got right now. So.
Interesting thing that Mike Conti posted, speaking of the playoffs and scheduling, said if we were to get through to the first round, what you were talking about, Kevin, us playing New England, we'd be on a Tuesday night. That's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
That is
anyway,
weird.
I just thought that was
yeah. I think that, you know, our defense has been nails. Brad Guzan has been fantastic this season. So I feel like we're in the best position that we can be in order to take this NYCFC team on. So, yeah. And you're right. I mean, weird things happen. It's one game. It could easily, we could easily lose this, but I think we should win it.
I hope so. I really do. All right. Anything else before we crack this thing open?
Just looking at score predictions. Anybody have any in here?
Nathan Explosion. Sorry, guys. NYCFC 4, Atlanta United 2. Also from New York, so I might be biased.
Tim, why do you have a hoodie that says die on it?
It says every time I die. It's one of my favorite bands. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I didn't see the every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Richard Gordon 2-1 Atlanta. Clayton Poss 2-1 Atlanta as well. Yeah. Kevin, are you cranking the box open?
I'm ready. All right. Let's see here. So first stats, Joseph Martinez goals. I'll give everyone, nobody's looking at stats, right?
Right.
So, Tim, what do you think you answered?
15.
19.
Okay.
Dan, what do you think you answered?
Probably something ridiculous like 25.
No, you said 17. And I said 18. Joseph Martinez actually ends the season with 12. That gives 1 point to Dan there for taking the under.
Wait. Hold on. That's 1 point to Dan. Okay.
1 point to
write
Dan.
Write that down. All right, I'm done. See you guys later. Bye.
All right. Team points. Tim, how many do you think you said?
69.
You did say 69.
Nice. Yeah, of course I said that.
Dan, what do you think you said?
Oh, probably like 63.
65. Oh. I said 63. Atlanta ends up with 51, so I'll take one on that one. Regular season finish in the East should be no brainer here. Tim, always selling sunshine with saying that Atlanta would finish first in the East. Dan saying second, and I said third. Of course, they finished fifth. I'll take another point there with taking the under. Most assists on the team. Who do you think you said, Tim?
Brooks Lennon.
You said Moreno.
Oh.
And let me go back to stats here. So you said Moreno. Dan, who do you think you said?
Barco.
You did say Barco, as did I. And Barco actually is leading the team in assists, so we will both get a point there.
Damn it.
Goals conceded for Atlanta United.
I hate these games. I hate these prediction games. I'm so good at them, but...
Goals conceded. This one's really good. This is the first one we've had where somebody actually guessed correctly. Goals conceded, Tim. How many do you think you said?
37.
You said 55. Dan, what? How many think you said?
40.
You said 37, which is the amount that Atlanta United conceded this season.
So that's
season.
Bonus points. That's we will.
We're
going to
give no. We're giving you three. It's just like if you guess the score correctly, you're going to get three for the 37 pick. I said 42, so I get nothing there.
Outrageous prediction.
Barco goals. How many do you guys think that you called for Barco goals for this season, Tim?
Did I say eight?
You did say eight. Pretty damn close. You're actually going to be the one to take this. Dan, how many do you think you said?
12.
You said 9, and I said 10. All right. Yellow cards. Who did you think had the most yellow cards?
Now I remember these.
Who do you think had the most yellow cards? Who do you think you called, Tim?
Was this in the first half or the second half that we decided to do this? Or was it just extra time?
What do you mean?
Well, we came up with these stupid stats that was like people getting a free kick off in the 83rd minute or something.
No, we did not say anything like that.
Well, we didn't do Vegas prop bets. Like, yellow cards is a pretty decent.
Yeah, there's still four of them here. So we did yellow. The last four that we've got were yellow cards, MLS champ, if it's not Atlanta United, which we won't know until later, who the winner in the West would be. And then the last one that we threw in was just the regular attendance games that we would have.
Okay.
No idea. So yellow cards. Tim, who do you think you said would have the most yellow cards this season?
I didn't say Sosa, did I?
No, you said Barco.
Oh.
Dan, who did you say?
Man, I can't remember now.
It was Ibarra, which wasn't a bad pick at the time. We all thought he was going to play a lot more than he ended up playing. But your boy got it right with Sosa. Sosa actually leads with 8. And then out of nowhere, Franco right behind him with 7.
Nice, which Franco.
Which is even more impressive because he played a lot fewer games, right, than Sosa did? Or not a lot fewer, but he played fewer games.
Yeah. I'm only going to take 1 point for Sosa. That's not as impressive as calling out a specific number, Dan. So
37
I will play
goals on the nose. That's pretty impressive.
That's
by
really
defense,
good,
by the way.
Yeah, because we all thought that we were going to concede a ton of goals this season.
Oh,
let's be honest. But that was also under Heinze, who – seemingly had this team all playing up at the midfield line for the first, you know, two or three matches, where any quick counter instantly had us on the back foot with nobody back to cover. So
who would have thought the most anticipated coach in Atlanta United history would be the worst coach in Atlanta United history?
So let's see. We all still have a dog in the fight, I believe. Yes, for MLS champ. If it's not Atlanta United, you two both picked teams on the West. Do you remember who you picked?
Seattle.
Dan did pick Seattle. Tim, you actually picked Portland.
Oh,
Portland? I have Red Bulls down.
Oh, fuck you, kid. Red Bulls.
I do. So we'll see how that shakes out. But winner in the West. Hey, guess what? Spoiler alert, guys. We're all out on that one because we all picked an LA team of one or the other. You two picked LAFC and I picked Galaxy.
I'm happy to be wrong on that one.
Yeah. And then Tim, you pick up the regular season regular attendance games with 13. Dan said 10 and I said 9. I think that they opened up July 4th, and then the rest of the season was all full attendance. So I think you got that Whoa. One. So let's see.
Points.
So you got two. I've got let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then Dan has 1, 2, 5. Dan's got 5. So it'll all come down to MLS champ. If it's not Atlanta United, if one of us get that right, Dan or I, that
none
could
of us
determine.
None of us. If you get that right, Kevin, I'm.
If any of us get that right.
Oh, boy.
Bunch of plastics. Fucking plastic. We have an NYCFC, another NYCFC fan in the trap saying 3-1 NYCFC.
Jomar
Medina.
So, all right. Thank you guys for all hanging out with us. It's been a fun regular season. We're excited to be able to continue recording in the offseason, or not even the offseason, in the playoffs, I should say. Now that we've made the cut, we thought we might be done at this point just a couple of months ago. So looking forward. We might be back next week, TBD. If you want to know if we're going to be back or not, an easy way to know is to make sure to hit that bell icon on YouTube so that you get a notification whenever we go live. Might be next week, might be in 2 weeks. Who knows? Only way to know is to subscribe and hit that bell notification.
But they're only going to know immediately when we go live. So there's no.
That's all that matters.
Okay.
Or if they're subscribed and they have no notifications on, whenever it gets uploaded, they'll get the notification that we posted an episode.
Exactly. So,
well,
Dan.
Then you got to post the episode, don't you?
We're talking about YouTube. Dan,
it's okay. He's muted. He can't say anything. I'll take care of that problem real quick. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. Where can they find you guys at on Peloton and woodworking and everywhere else? OnlyFans, OnlyPans, OnlyDans. Where can they find you? Where can they find you at on OnlyDance, Dan?
OnlyDance.
OnlyDance.
So every time somebody
right now,
every time somebody mistypes OnlyFans, you're gonna get you're gonna get a lot of traffic from people.
You can find me on OnlyDance at the Danload.
at the official Danload.
OnlyDance. Someone's already got it.
The real download.
They've only got 3 followers. What a waste.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Also, I wish the guy who owns the domain for homebeforedark.com would relinquish it, but he doesn't even have a website. He just buys the domain and holds it for...
Yep.
just do homebeforedark.com. Get around it,
Before Dirk.
Wasn't that Christopher Nolan movie?
No, I think that was Arrival.
No, I thought that he had that movie about the boats out on the ocean. Before Dunkirk. That's what it was.
Oh, that's a little insensitive.
Yeah, well, that's just Kevin.
All right. Where can they find you guys at?
You can find me at DNJMS or to the Power Down on Peloton, where we can just do some rolling together for 5 minutes.
Dude, that I don't think anything makes me more mad at this point. Whenever I finish a big workout, and then I get all my activity notifications from everybody else working out in the morning, and then one of them is Dan for 16 calories burned rolling, whatever that is. Yeah, really cool. It's really called, keep that up.
That's what they call it whenever you do ecstasy. It's just rolling afterwards.
Tripartite method.
Really great. Tim, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Tim Herb on Instagram. And on Nextdoor, I guess. Maybe I'm on there.
Just yelling about people's cats.
Yeah, mostly fireworks. Like, I love shit posting about fireworks on Nextdoor. Come see me flame war with my neighbors on Nextdoor.
We had a great one about people hunting deer in people's backyards.
What?
So in Dunwoody, it's legal to hunt deer with a bow and arrow in a residential neighborhood. So, I mean, nobody actually, well, I guess...
Pay no mind to me in a ghillie suit laying down right next to the speed hump next time you drive through the neighborhood.
Yeah. So
oh,
there you
that's
go.
Great. That's great.
Just walking down the street and just hearing... Fun, What's that coming from? Pretty incredible that you could do that.
I know. It's kind of bizarre.
It's kind of fucked up.
But
just
we've
put on your spotlight in your backyard. Like,
well, we get a lot of deer, and I've seen like a doe, and she's got two kids, and I'm just waiting to see one of them just sprawled out on the road with an arrow through it or something. But
why has she got goats following her?
I couldn't remember what
No, it's like actual kids. It's Sweet Tooth. This is the start of that Sweet Tooth show on Netflix.
It's about cuties?
It's not actually a real doe. It's actually someone just dressed in a doe skin leading children around the neighborhood.
Oh, God. It's Buffalo Bob.
It's that new horror film, Antlers.
Oh, man. That's great. You can find all of us on Twitter.
Where can they find you, Kevin? Where can they find you?
At The Architect. That's at @_ARC, TECT. Collectively at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Thank you guys again so much. We'll see you next time. As always, be home before dark.
Just a shout out to Sydney 17 supporters. Hey, que pone de la carne en el asador. The team needs to put all the meat on the barbecue.
And then in my mouth. But not Tim's because of gout.